Begin the current daf itself, the Ksuba daf Ayin. We begin 7 lines down from the top of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues and concludes the discussion of the Mishnah on the previous daf. That is, the Mishnah was discussing Machlekes, Remei, and Reb Yosi, but the specifics of it was regarding if a father has a daughter that's an orphan, and then she gets an Adunya, she gets a dowry when she gets married. The father appointed a third party to decide what field to get for her, what to give for her dowry when she gets married. Now, that the Gemara introduces, Sinan Hazim, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Gittin, that says the following halacha. Hapu'utais, young children that are around age 8 or 9, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Nizakin, mekhan mekach, their purchases are valid in halacha, umemkeren mekar, and what they sell is valid, bimetatlim, specifically if it's movable items, but things like karka, like land, that will not work, it's not a valid sale in halacha, until they bring two Cyrus, by Simakim, or until they become age 20. Now, on that Mishnah Amar Rav from, he said, Loishana elisha insham apotropis. We only said this, that their sale is valid for Metatlin if they're 8 or 9, only if there's no person that was appointed by the father of the orphans before he passed away, or by the courts, that there's no one, there's no adult that's taking care of their finances. Aval yeshem apotropis, but Rafim says if there is an apotropis, there's an overseer of their estate, then ein mekar mekach ve'ein memkar mekar. Then their purchases and their sales are not halachically valid, even though their age is 8 or 9. So the question is, mimai, where do I know this from? Midiktani, from this that we learned in our Mishnah on the previous staff, that the Mishnah said that when the miner wants to go ahead and purchase something, so it said that ein meister ketanu klum. It says that what the child does, what a minor does, is nothing, is not valid, and the only one that could do it is the shlishes, the third party that the father had appointed. So we see that although they're already at an age that their understanding of what a sale is, and it could work in halacha, but when there's someone else that was appointed to oversee their affairs, then what they're doing has no halachic validity. Now, that the Gemara asks, what's the raya, what's the proof from our Mishnah? Maybe the halacha of our Mishnah is different because there, a shlish means there was a third party appointed specifically by the father what to do with these monies. An apotropis is fundamentally different. Apotropis does not have a specific job per se of a certain mission, but rather he takes care of the affairs of the orphans, whatever is necessary. Now, if the children go ahead and sell something when they're aged 9 or 10, so that's not a deviation of the mitzvah hameis. As we explained on the top of the summit in the previous daf, the understanding of Remeir's opinion on Mishnah is because mitzvah kaim divra hameis, the father who passed away, he said he wants this third party to decide what should be done. So then we said what a minor does doesn't have validity because it's not the third party that's doing it. But an apotropis, which is that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, he also sells assets, whatever is necessary, according to the needs of the minors. And therefore, that's not a contradiction when the child will go ahead and sell. So therefore, the Gemara is asking Rav, from how do you see from our Mishnah, where only the shlish could do it and not the minor, when the shlish has this specific job, was what the father said, I want him to do that, which indicates not the child. But an apotropis doesn't have a specific job per se. He just has to make sure that whatever the orphans need, they're going to get. And therefore, why is that a contradiction if the child, when he's age 8 or 9, could do it himself too, and the sale will be valid, l'halacha? So the Gemara answers, in Cain, if that would be the case, that our Mishnah was specifically a shlish, a third party, and the reason being is because it was specified to him that he should purchase a field, which was specific to him, not to the child, then listening, then the words in the Mishnah should have been different. It should have said, Aval Biktana, but if we're talking about a daughter that's a minor, Yaseh Shlish Masha Hushlash B'yada, it should have said the words that let the third party do as it was designated to do, which was actually the words that Remeir said in the beginning of the Mishnah. Because that would tell us that no, he should do what he was chosen to do. Why does it say Ein Maisa Ketana Klum? Why does it say these words, which seemingly are unnecessary, to say that whatever the minor daughter does is like it's nothing? Shema Minoah Fel Ba'amah, that's coming to teach us a general concept. And even when there's an apotropis, who at least on some level is similar to the shlish in the sense of that there's not just a minor here, there's also an adult taking care of the affairs, That's what it's obviously coming to say, that no, when there's an adult, what a minor does is insignificant, and it's not just because of a shlish who had a specific job. Because then I should have said, let him do what he was meant to do. You don't have to say that what a minor does is nothing, because what a minor does actually has validity, as we find by Apotropis. By saying that it doesn't have validity, obviously we're coming to tell you that it doesn't have validity, even by something similar to the shlish, which is not just a specific job, which is the case of Apotropis. And that's why Rafram qualifies the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that what the Pu'utas do is only if there is no Apotropis. Hanulach Metzias Isha, we shall return to the sixth parak of Masechtas Ksubas, parak Metzias Isha. Now we begin the seventh parak, parak Hamadir, which, as the name indicates, talks about when a husband takes an oath forbidding his wife from having certain pleasures, or related, as we'll see in the Mishnah, when the wife takes the neder and the husband, who could nullify it, does not, so he is being mekayim it, he's giving it stability by not nullifying it, and that will have similar ramifications about him having to divorce her and giving her a ksuba. So the Mishnah begins, Hamadar is ishto milahon eslai, ad lamayim. If a husband takes an oath, saying, my wife cannot have any pleasure from me. So if he takes that neder until a period of 30 days, now Rashi points out specifically that obviously the hana of tashmish, of cohabitation, that he's forbidding her to have pleasure from him, it does not become forbidden, because that's one of the things that is meshubet to her, which it says in the Torah, she'erksus va'ayna, Aina is the time of when he has a mitzvah to cohabit with her, and therefore he has a chiv, an obligation to do that. So therefore, because of the tashmish, we don't force him to divorce her and to give her the ksuba. Now, actually, the Gemara will ask, but what's with the hana that he's not going to give her any pleasure, which includes not feeding her, which the Gemara is going to ask, but he's meshubed that too. That's included in she'er, where he has to feed her. So how does that take effect? You can't take a neder in something which is not your rights to make a neder, and it's not yours. There's a lien on it by the wife. But be that as it may, if he takes a general neder forbidding all pleasure from him to his wife, so if it's for a period of 30 days, so yamid parnas, so what he should do is, he should appoint a shliach, a messenger, that person should support him, should support his wife, because he can't, he took a neder, but the shliach will do it. Now, yes, McCain, the Mishnah says, if the neder is more than 30 days, then Yetzib eaten ksuba, then he divorces her and he gives her the ksuba. That's already a period that's too long for her to tolerate. Now, Behuda Aimer, he says it depends. He says, be Yisrael, if the husband's a Yisrael, a non-Kohen, where he could remarry the woman that he divorced, then Chaydish Echad Yikayim. Then, you're right, then if it's only 1 month, then it will stay. Bishnaim Yetzib eaten ksuba. But if it's 2 months, as the Talmud Kama said, then he has to divorce her. That's already too long of a period for her not to be able to have this regular, normal relationship with her husband by getting hana from him. And therefore, although there's a shliach, he would have to divorce her and give her the ksuba. However, he does qualify and says, b'kayin, if the husband is a kayin, who, if he divorces her, even if she doesn't marry anyone else, he cannot remarry her, because a kayin is forbidden to marry a grusha, even his own grusha. Now, maybe ultimately he's going to have regret for what he had done. So, and then it's already too late because he can't remarry her. So the Rabbanan, the rabbis gave him a little bit more time, a little bit more leeway. Where Rabbi Yehuda holds, Shnai Mikaim, if the nether is for 2 months, then he could still maintain this operation of doing it through a shleach and not having to divorce her. But Vishleisha Yetzibit and Ksuba, but if it's already 3 months, then even by Kohen, he has to divorce her and give her a Ksuba. Now, continuing on this halacha, but it's a little bit different, is Hamadar is Ishtoi. If someone takes a neder forbidding his wife, shleititoim echad mikol haperes, that she should not be able to taste any one of any type of fruits that's out there. Now, Rashi explains the case that is told by where the wife actually takes a neder. And she says, koinim pre-plainy lai. She says, I'm forbidding myself to have pleasure from this fruit. Now, he was mekayim it. He says, let that be. He's not going to nullify it, because obviously, the husband cannot make his wife forbidden from having pleasures. He's not the owner of her body. He can only forbid her from having pleasure from his own things. So the case is talking that she took the neder and he's being mekayimit. Now, however, since he's being mekayimit, he's playing a role over here. So Yetziv eaten ksuba, so he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Again, Rabbi Yehuda, he differentiates. He says, be Yisrael, when he's a non-kohen, so yom echad yikayim. If it's for 1 day, then he could maintain the marriage. Shnayim yetziv yidin ksuba. But if it's for 2 days that neder for the fruit that she had forbidden on herself and he was mekayim it, he solidified it, then he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. Ubekayin, however, if it's a kayin, then it's a little bit more. We extended it. It's a shnayim mekayim. If it's for 2 days, they can maintain this operation. Shleisha yetziv yidin ksuba. But if it's 3 days, then he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Obviously, the idea of giving her the ksuba is that he has the liability. Ksuba, if it would be her fault, then he wouldn't give her the ksuba. Since here it's his fault, the first case of when he took the neder, and these cases when he's being mekayim the neder, so therefore he has to divorce her because it cannot be maintained, the marriage in this way, and he gives her the ksuba. Similarly, hamadris ishtoi, shlek tiskashet be'echad mikol haminim. If the husband made a neder forbidding his wife from adorning herself with any one type of cosmetics, which again Rashi explains the Toma that she takes the neder. She says, "Koinim b'isim pleini lai," and he's mekayimit, because obviously, again, he cannot make that neder on her. But he's, since he's mekayimit, yetziv yidin ksuba, he has to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Now, Rabbi Yisrael Mehi argues, and he qualifies, he says, "Banias, by a woman that's poor, so then, shalinosin kitzva." It's that if he didn't set a certain amount of time, meaning this neder that she took was an endless nether, which was infinite, so then, since it doesn't say until how long she's going to be forbidden to use cosmetics, then he has to go ahead and divorce her and give her a ksuba. But if there was a set amount, since she's a pauper anyway and she's not so into cosmetics, doesn't have that ability anyway, then she would have to wait until that time and he wouldn't have to divorce and give her the ksuba. Now the Gemara is going to explain how long is that set time. If you take 100 years, that's essentially the same as infinity anyway. But that's what the Rabbi Yisi is saying, that if there's no set time, then he has to divorce her. However, ubashiris, but by a wealthy woman, where she's accustomed to using cosmetics all the time, then shleishim yom. Then, 30 days is the max. However, if it's not 30 days, then we don't force him to have to divorce her and give her the ksuba. Now the Gemara asked a question that we alluded to in the beginning of the Mishnah, and that is, v'kivin de mishumid law, since we explained by Tashmish, obviously, she's not being forbidden on that, because he's mishumid, as it says in the Torah of Oina. But there's another element, which that of mezoinos, that he has to feed her, that there's a responsibility, there's a liability that he has, where it's not even essentially his right to make it forbidden on her, because it's hers. So hechamotzi madula. How could he go ahead and make a neder forbidding him on his wife, where we see in the Mishnah, obviously you could, because the Mishnah is saying, so how do you feed her? You feed her through the messenger. Obviously, that is a responsibility that you have, but you're making it forbidden, and then you're not being able to give her the mezoinos. But how do you make such a neder? Kol kamina demafka leila shibudei? Is there any way that he has the ability to uproot the shibud, the responsibility that he has of feeding her? But vatnam udon the Mishnah mesechtes nedarim, that obviously if there's a shibud, a responsibility of a chiyuv of a halacha that one has to give to someone else, a neder does not make that forbidden. It's like you didn't even make the neder. As the Mishnah says in the Dharm, that a woman that says to her husband, "Kainim sheini ois laficha," I'm taking a neder, a vow, that whatever I make, whatever I earn, cannot go to you. You cannot have any pleasure in that. So that the Mishnah said, "Einot tzarich lahafer." The husband, although he has the rights to nullify her vows, he doesn't even have to. Alma, so we see obviously, kivin the mishabdilei, since she's mishubed, her earnings go to him because he feeds her, so she has to. There's a shibud on her earnings going to him. It's lav kol kamina demafkalit lishibudi. She has no rights to uproot that shibud. So who are you making the neder? Make a neder as much as you want. It's not yours, just like you couldn't make my stuff forbidden on me. What's your earnings? Since it's mishubed to me, you can't go ahead and make it forbidden. So on that, therefore, the Gemara asks, "Sahachinami." Here also in the case of our Mishnah, "Kivin the Meshubed law, since he's Meshubed Tahar to feed her, Salav Kol Kamini the Mafkalul Shibuda. How can he go ahead and uproot that Shibud? Why are we saying that if someone takes the Neder, he cannot feed her, and therefore we have to find mediums, a Shliach, and if it's too long, he has to divorce her? What do you mean? The Neder is not a Mechal. You cannot take a Neder, as the husband didn't have to be made for her Neder because she's Meshubed to him. Here he's Meshubed Tahar." So the Gemara explains, the reason why it could take effect is because since the husband could tell the wife, there are two parallels over here. What the husband is meshubet to the wife, and what the wife is meshubet to the husband. The husband has to feed the wife, and because of that, and related to that, the wife has to go ahead and give her earnings to her husband, which is a certain set amount. So since the husband could tell the wife, look, I know there's a shibud for me to have to feed you, but there's a way out of it. Take your earnings and feed yourself. So since he could tell her that, so we continue on Tamid Beis, Nasa ka imla. So even though he didn't say that, it's as if he said that because obviously this was what he meant to say because that's the only way he could be making this nether. Because of his Meshubat Tahar, he cannot make a nether. So when he is making a nether, it's obviously like as if he's saying, go ahead, use your earnings for your sustenance. And that's something that he could do. And therefore it's like as if he did do that, and that's how the nether takes effect. But you're right, if that wouldn't be able to work, then of course he wouldn't be able to take a nether, as we find that Mishnah. Now, Avad Gemara asks, Vim Isa Lahad Rav Huna Marav, but if you hold the halach of Rav Huna Marav, the Amar Rav Huna Marav, that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, Yechayli Isha Shatayim Alabala, a woman could tell her husband the similar thing in reverse. Einin Ezen Ezrein Oisa, look, I'm making a lot of money. And the sustenance you're giving me is basic meager rations. So you know what? Don't feed me, and my earnings are not going to go to you. And that's what Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, that she could do the same thing in reverse. So if so, the Gemara asks, so then why in that Mishnah that we just quoted, when the wife makes a neder forbidding her earnings on her husband, am I in itzarch lahafer, why does the husband not have to nullify? And that we said that because she doesn't have the right to, because her earnings are meshubatim. But lema, we should say the same thing that we used to explain our Mishnah. We should say, since she could say that I'm not going to get fed from you and therefore my earnings don't go to you, so then it should be as if, just like you said when he's taking a nether, obviously that's what he means to say because or else there wouldn't be any nether. Here also when the wife's making a nether on her earnings to her husband, since it cannot take effect because she's meshuvatim, then it should be as if, the same idea, conceptually, that as if she said, look, I'm not going to get fed from you and if my earnings are not going to go to you. So why does the Mishnah there say he doesn't have to be mefer? It should be a valid nether and he should have to be mefer. So the Gemara says, Eli, you're right. Obviously, that can't be the explanation in our Mishnah because then that you would be able to say the same thing in that Mishnah. Rather, loite menasa, don't say that it's as if, ela bi'aymer la, tzi ma'isi decha b'mezayin nesecha, that the case of a Mishnah actually is talking about, where he told her specifically, although it doesn't say that in our Mishnah, but that's what the case is talking about, when Hamadres Ishtoi was talking about that he said to her, look, I'm making my stuff forbidden on you, which includes all the food that I have in the house, and, oh, but I have a responsibility, I'm a shubit to feed you, no problem. Take your earnings and feed yourself. And that's the way he's not meshubitar, and that's how the neder could be chal. So now the Gemara continues and asks, so ihachi, so if we found out an understanding of how it is that the husband can make the neder, because actually he's not responsible to have to feed her, so then the question becomes, paranas lamala. So then why does he have to go ahead and appoint a messenger, a third party to have to go ahead and feed her, if we just explain that the whole conceptualization of the case of how he can make a nether is that he's actually not responsible to feed her because he told her that he can get out of this takan salcham of having to feed her or this obligation of share to having to feed her by having her take her own earnings and feed herself. That the Gemara answers b'lay safka. We're talking about that there's not enough food to cover her basic earnings, which, as the Gemara explained of Samach Dalam Abayz, that there's this parallel about a certain amount of money that she earns, that is what she has to give to the husband. And then that is what obligates him in feeding her. That amount that she makes is not going to cover the amount of food that she needs. And that's why she needs to have a parnas, because she's not making enough money. So then the Gemara asks, Ibud Loi Safka, so then if her earnings are not going to cover the food, the sustenance that she needs, so then hada kushna dochte. So that really brings the question back again. That means to say that she's not getting enough mezainis. So he is meshubit, so then he can't make a neder. So how does the neder chal in the first place? Because he has this obligation to feed her. The only way he can get out of it is when she takes her earnings to cover that. But if her earnings are not covering, so how is this helping in answering how he can make the neder if he's still meshubit? So Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi finds the perfect medium. He says, "Bemesapekes ledvaram gedolim." No, her earnings that she makes is enough to cover all the big needs that she has, all the basic things. Now, ve'ena mesapekes ledvaram ketanim, but it doesn't cover for the small things. And since it covers for the big things, so he could tell her, "Take your ma'aser dam for your mezainis." But for the little things, since it doesn't, so for that, he has to make a parnas. Now, the Gemara wonders. What is the understanding of these small things? And that is, if these are things that she's accustomed to, well, then her regilabahu, then she's accustomed to them, and that is from her needs. And therefore, he's meshubatar. These are his requirements as a husband to the wife. And therefore, if he's meshubat, so then again, how is the neder going to be chal if it's not being covered by her maisei diamond? He's meshubatar. And if these are things that she's not accustomed to, and therefore it's not a chiyuv, it's not something that she needs, and therefore he's not meshubatar, and that's why the nedik bichal, well then parnas lamala, then what does he need to make a third party to go ahead and have to support her through that person if, again, these are not things that he's responsible for? So on that, Rav Asha explains, loy tzricha, dirigila bebeis nasha, that she was accustomed to these things when she was in her father's house, when she was single. But she rolls with it, with him, meaning although he doesn't have these things that she was used to when she was in her father's house, but with him, since there was this relationship, she was getting by without those things. Now, but the Amrle, but now she tells him, Adha idna deloya darten, up until now that you didn't make a neder on me, forbidding me to have pleasure from you. So galgilna bahadoch, so I was able to do without them because I was together with you. Hashda da da'artim, and now that you made a neder forbidding all your pleasure on me, I can't go without these things anymore. I don't have these things to cope with without them, which I was used to, because I had you, now I don't have you, and therefore now I need them. And it can be explained like the way Taisa says, that basically what she's saying is that although I was meichel up until now, I was forgiving on these things, which really you were meshubah to me because I was used to them when I was single. But since we had this relationship, I was okay with it. I didn't do that with the understanding that you're going to make a neder on me. And therefore, essentially, he is meshubat to her. He has his responsibilities because her mechila was not with the understanding of him making a neder. But however, still the neder will be chal because at the time of the neder, he wasn't meshubat to her yet because at that time when they had the relationship, she was okay without those things. And therefore, that's where you could have this case where although the neder could be chal because he wasn't meshubat, but still, he still will have the responsibility when he does make the neder to provide her with these dvarim katanim, where she's not meichel at a time of neder, and that he does have to take care of her, and that's why he has to make a parnas. Now, so the Gemara says, so what is this difference of up until 30 days? And that is, if we're saying that he's not responsible for the big things, because she's taking her meisei daim, and the little things, the neder could be chal, but you could take care of it with a parnas, so why only up until 30 days? Why not more? So the Gemara says, because ad lamed yoyim lo yishame ba inshi. Up until 30 days, people don't hear, they don't notice that the wife is not, they don't notice that he's not giving her anything, and that a third party is giving it to her. And therefore, v'lei zila ba milsa, therefore it's not disgraceful for her, it's not embarrassing for her, that people should know that this is what's going on in their relationship. Tvei yishame ba inshi. More than 30 days, people start hearing, noticing what's going on with this couple. V'zila ba milsa, it's going to be disgraceful, degrading for her, and therefore, if it's more than 30 days, he has to divorce her and give her a ksuba. That's one approach in explaining the case of our Mishnah. Ibo Yisim, now the Gemara says that to answer the question about how could the neder be chal, but he's meshubitar. So the previous Gemara said that when he says, you take your maisei daim and you cover your mezainis. Now the Gemara says, it's talking about shehedira kishahi arusa. Talking about that, when did he make the neder? When she was engaged. If she's engaged, there's no obligation of menzainis. And since at that point there was no obligation of menzainis, so he could make the neder, and the neder would be chal. Now, but then the Gemara asks, if that's the case, arusa mi'isla menzainis, does a woman that's engaged have menzainis? Why do you have to go ahead and make it through a third party of a partner to have to provide her and support her if there's no obligation of menzainis at all? So that the Gemara answers, shegiyazman v'lei nasu, it's talking about a case where the 12-month period of the obligation of when it's time to get married reached, and they didn't get married yet. Where biblically, he still doesn't have to feed her, because that's only when he gets married. Therefore, the neder will be chal, because the neder is a biblical halacha. Now, rabbinically, since from the time that they tell each other that they want to get married, there's a period of 12 months, then rabbinically he has to feed her already, because they should have gotten married and they didn't, therefore it's his responsibility. That's a rabbinic obligation, so therefore, because the rabbinic obligation, you have to provide it through a parnas. But again, that doesn't contradict that you could make a neder, because biblically, there is no obligation for mezainis, and therefore, you can make such a neder on the kala. Did not like we learn the Mishnah on Davnan Zayin and Medalef, which says this halacha that Hegiyas Man v'lein Nasu, if the period of 12 months reached and they didn't get married yet, Eichlis Mishaloi v'Eichlis B'Truma. So she eats from his stuff already, and she eats from Truma. And again, that's a rabbinic obligation. So therefore, he has the rabbinic obligation, which will be fulfilled through the parnas. But biblically, he could make the neder. It's not like the question we had, where how can he make a neder? He's responsible. He has the Zeshiba Tefira. That's only when they get married, not when they're engaged. Now that the question is, as we asked in the first approach, Umayshnat Shloshim Yom. So why is it just until 30 days? As Tais explains, because here it doesn't apply the reason of the first pshat in the Gemara of Zilus, of disgracefulness, because here they're not married. So there's no responsibility at all, especially on a biblical level. So therefore it's not disgraceful. She's anyways in her father's house and he's in his house. So since there's no Zilusa, so why is it only up until 30 days? So the Gemara answers, because Ad Shloshim Yom Ovid Shliach Shluchusei. Up until 30 days, the messenger, he does his job. But more than that, a shlich doesn't do it, and therefore we can't rely on this operation of having this parnas providing for her. Up until 30 days, he'll do it, but after that, it's not going to work out so well, and that's why it only works for 30 days and not more. That's the second approach. Again, how to answer the basic question, if he's Meshubba Tamazainis, how could he have taken a neder? Again, the first Gemara's teretz was when he tells her, and the second teretz in the Gemara was when he took the neder when she was Narusa after 12 months, where biblically he doesn't have responsibility, and that's why neder can be chal, but rabbinically he does, and therefore the requirement for a parnas. Now the Gemara says, if you want to give a third approach, he made the neder when she was engaged. Now, even before the 12-month period, Vinicius, and then they got married. Where now that they got married, so now he has a responsibility to feed her, but the neder was already chal. So this you could have, that middle place where the neder was chal, so therefore she is forbidden. But at the same time, he has a responsibility because now they got married, and therefore he has to appoint a parnas. Now the Gemara wonders on this teretz, nisis, that she got married? Hasavra v'kibla, if she got married after this chasna of hers already made a neder forbidding her from any pleasure, including mezainis, so she knew that she was forbidden to get mezainis from him, and still she got married to him. Therefore, obviously, that there is no shibut, there's no responsibility, because she acquiesced to that beforehand. So why would it? How can we say that he would have a responsibility to feed her through a parnas? So that the Gemara says, the Amr that she says, after she gets married, she says, look, kesvura nishani yochoy lekabel. She says, I thought I was able to accept when we got married. I knew that I'm forbidden to have any hanah from him, including getting friends from him. But I thought I'd be able to survive. I'd make do because I really want to get into this relationship, even though he's not going to feed me. Achshav einan yochoy lekabel. But now I realize, though, I don't know what I was thinking, I can't survive that. And because of that, he has to go ahead and divorce her and give her the ksuba. Or, for that time period, he has to give her the parnas. Now, that the Gemara wonders, where do we find this concept, which the Gemara is repeating over here by saying that I thought I could have, but now I realize I can't, and therefore, although she accepted, but that was what's called acceptance of tois, it was an error, and therefore that undoes that acceptance, and therefore he does have the responsibility to feed her. That would be only Gabi Mumin. That's as we find at the end of this parak in the Mishnah, where the husband had some real blemishes, and she was like, oh, it's okay, I like him, or whatever. And then after they get married, she says, no, it really bothers me. So that's where we said that I thought it wouldn't bother me, but then I realized that it does bother me. And therefore, she has a right to say that. But can you say that by food, that I thought I'd be able to survive? What? She knows she can't survive without being fed. So what does it mean that she would have said that she accepted, and now she realizes, oh, I can't? So if the Gemara concludes, rather it's clear, Kedeshanim Yekar must be like one of the other two terutzim that we said before, because this teretz is not an option, because it was taken when she was Narusa, which the neder could be chal, but then there would be no requirement of giving a parnas, because she accepted those conditions, and you can't say that you thought, when obviously everyone knows you cannot survive without being fed. Now the Gemara continues explaining our Mishnah, that as we just described, that the neder could be chal either for one of two reasons, either because although he has a shibut to her, and you cannot make a neder, as we prove from a different Mishnah, on a shibut that you have, but again, either because of, he tells the tzimai sedechem v'zenesecha, or because he took it when she was narusa after the 12-month period. Now, however the Mishnah said, If the net is only up until 30 days, so then in that interim, he has to go ahead and feed her with a parnas. As we said, that there's still a rabbinic obligation of feeding her, as we said for the Dvarim Ketanim, or as we said for this rabbinic obligation of feeding her after 12 months. Now, then the Gemara asks, parnas lav shlichus ka'avid? What does this mean? Isn't the messenger, don't we know the halacha of shliach shaladim kamaisai, that the messenger is like the person himself? Isn't this him violating his neder? He said that she can't have any pleasure from him. So I'm not going to give it to you from my hand to your hand. Rather, I'm going to get someone else to give it to you. What does that make a difference? It's his stuff that she's having pleasure from. Isn't he violating by appointing a parnas? So how does that help with her getting fed at the same time him fulfilling his vow? So Rav Huna explains, Ba'im is told me that what he says, Kol Hazan, you're right, he doesn't appoint a parnas, because that shliach shalom kamaisi would be like him giving a tar. But rather he says, whoever feeds her, ain't a mafsit, will not lose out. Meaning, obviously he's insinuating that he's going to compensate that person, because no one's going to feed necessarily out of their own goodwill, but he says they will not lose. Now, the Gemara wonders, when you say it in that way, that's not considered that you're still making him a messenger, a shliach, to go ahead and do what you want when you say that whoever does it won't lose out. But the Gemara says, we learn the Mishnah of Sechus Gittin, that obviously says that this is like as if you're telling him to do it, which again goes back to the question that you're violating your vow by saying it in such a way and appointing someone to be your parnas. Because the Mishnah says, Mishal yamushlich bebar v'amah. If someone fell into a pit and he said, whoever hears his voice, meaning the person who fell into the pit, should write a divorce document for his wife. He doesn't want his wife to be stranded. So the halacha, the Mishnah says, so they should write and they should give the get. Now, this is in spite of the fact that he didn't tell a scribe to write the get. He just said, whoever hears should write. And obviously, you can't write it without being a shliach from the husband. So David, the Gemara is asking here also, where although he didn't say feed her, but he's saying whoever does feed will not lose, is obviously considered that it's like a shlichus. Why is it any different than the case of the Mishnah Masechet Zgittin, where he didn't tell anyone specifically to do it, and still it's considered shlichus. Here also, where he says whoever does it won't lose, it should be considered like a shlich. So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashda, do you really think they're comparable? Hasam Kamer Yichtav, they're ultimately... He said that in the way of a commandment, he says, whoever hears my voice should write it. Hacham yikam yazan. Here did he say that whoever hears me should feed it? Kol hazan kama. He said it in an active, but more in a passive way. He says, whoever feeds, in a reactive way, whoever feeds won't lose out. But he's not saying whoever hears should feed. And therefore, since it's not a tzavah, it's not a commandment, it's not a shlichus, it's just saying, whoever decides to do it will get compensated, he won't lose out. And therefore, that's not considered a shlichus. But the Gemara continues asking, but V'omer Rabami said, B'dleika, when there's a fire, he tiru lema, they permit it on Shabbos, and the reason being is because since a person gets overwhelmed when he sees all his hard-earned money going up in smoke, if we do not permit him to find a way to extinguish the fire in somewhat a permissible way, he's going to come to extinguish it himself and violate a biblical commandment or a greater iser if we don't let him to find a way out. So Rabbi said that when there's a fire on Shabbos, they permitted the person to say, Kalamachaba in the mafsid, whoever extinguishes it will not lose out. Now, on that the Gemara's deek is, now, when Rabbi said this halacha, that on a fire on Shabbos, they permitted a person to say it in this way, what are they coming to exclude? Lavla Ma'ute Ki Agavna isn't excluding that our case, where meaning it would exclude all other Yisurin in the Torah, that you can't say it in this way, or whoever does this won't lose out. So how do you say that the way the husband is appointed the parnas, not to violate the neder, is saying Kol Hazan Eina Mafsid, but we see that that was only something that was allowed for a case of like a fire where you might come to violate a biblical prohibition or some greater Isser, then you could say Kol Hamachaba Eina Mafsid. But we see that if not, it is considered a shlichus, and therefore you can't say kol hazan in a mafsid. So I think Mar says, Loi, no. Lema'uti shari surim de Shabbos. The other prohibitions of Shabbos are very stringent. There it was not permitted to say that whoever does this malacha for me won't lose, so that a non-Jew should hear and do what you want him to do. But by something like a neder, which is not as stringent as the halachas of Shabbos, the Rabbanan did not make this gezerah, and therefore it's not a problem as if it's considered your shliach if you say it in this a non-directive way of kol hazaneh namafsid. For the halachas of Shabbos, yes, that's forbidden. But for the halachas of nedarim, that's not a problem. That's not considered enough of a shlichus to be forbidden. But the Gemara continues asking, Masav Rabba, Rabba asks from a Mishnah Masechet Nedarim. The Mishnah says, Hamudr hanam mechaver, if someone was forbidden on the power of an oath from having pleasure from his friend, but ve'en loy ma yoichel. Now that person that was had an oath against him that he can't have permission to have from that other person doesn't have what to eat. So on that, the Mishnah in the Masechet Nedarim says, so yelech etzlchem v'ni harogel etzloy. So the one who took the oath that now he can't give pleasure to that person who has nothing to eat. So what he should do is he should go to the chem v'ni harogel etzloy, to his regular storekeeper, the yemel, and he tells his shopkeeper, look, ish ploini mudr hanam mimeni. This person is forbidden on the power of an oath to have pleasure from me. Now he says these words, v'eini yedea ma esoler, and I don't know what to do. Hint, hint. So what's done then is who nice and like the storekeeper gives to that person for free, above a night and then he comes and collects from this other guy. Now that the Gemara asks, Hachi Hudishari, that is permitted when there's a forbidden of a neder from one person to another person. But saying whoever feeds doesn't lose, where essentially you're saying a more directive of telling people, maybe indirectly, but you're telling them, I want this guy to be fed, that seemingly would be usur. How can you say the case of a mishtoma when you say kol hazaneh namafsid, where at least you're telling a clear message, even though it's non-directed, that you want this person to be fed, when we see in the mishtoma Masechet Nedarim, it's only something that's not even saying that you want them to be fed. You're just saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do is not saying at all. It's much less of a hint. That would be permitted. But kol hazaneh namafsid, seemingly it's forbidden. And that the Gemara says, no. Actually, it's telling us that we don't even have to say the case of kol hazaneh namafsid. Kol hazaneh namafsid is, like the Gemara had said, is a permitted way of giving pleasure from one person to another who there's a isser of a neder, as in the case of our Mishnah. But kol hazaneh namafsid, we don't have to say that when you say whoever feeds doesn't lose, dila alma kamar, where that's said to the world, where that is not similar to a shlichus, because that case, the husband, as we're explaining the case of Mishnah, the husband didn't designate any specific person to be the parnas. If you made someone, then he's a shliach, and therefore it's like you're giving. But when you just tell it to the world, whoever feeds won't lose, so that's permitted, as we had said. Aval hai, but the chiddush of the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim was taking it a step up. But in this case, kivan the rogel etzloy, since this is his regular shopkeeper, the ka'azel kamarlein, he comes and he tells him this statement of, oh, I don't know what to do, kemando amarle, we would think it's like as if he told him, ziv havle at dame, that would be similar to like, you go ahead and give him, where you're designating a specific person, although you're saying, I don't know what to do, but you're telling it to one person. Telling it to one person, wink, wink, you want him to do it, therefore, that should be forbidden. Kamash malan, that's the chiddush of the Mishnah Masechet Nedarim, that even that's going to be permitted. But it's, again, it doesn't contradict the way we explain the case of our Mishnah. The way Rav Huna said it is that when he says kol hazaneh namafsid, then it's not considered shlich shel adam kemoisei. Now the Gemara elaborates on that Mishnah Masechet Nedarim that we introduced, and the Gemara says gufa hamudr hanam mechaver. If someone, as we explained this before, someone is forbidden on the power of an oath to have pleasure from his friend, but ve'in l'mayochel doesn't have what to eat. So the mother, the one who made the oath, the one whose objects, whose money is forbidden on that person, he goes to his regular storekeeper, and he tells him, "Ish plainly mudha no mimeni, this person is forbidden on the power of oath to have pleasure from me. Ve'ini dea ma'esla, I don't know what to do with him." So who knows? The storekeeper gives him a boba night, and he comes and he collects from that person. A similar case, beisoy live nice. If let's say he has a house that needs to be built, v'gedei ligdor and his fence that needs to be fenced, v'sedei ligdor and his field that needs to be reaped, and again he doesn't have any money and he's forbidden on hano from the other person, so ha'ilech etz l'poil and ha'regil netzloy. So he goes to the workers that are normative to him, v'omer, and he says to them, look, ish ploini mud hano, this person is forbidden on hano to have hano from me, v'ein idea me'esla, and I don't know what to do with him. So hein oisni, might they do it for him? Ubon b'neik l'schar mizeh, and then they collect their payment from that person. Similarly, Hayamahalcham Aderech, if they were going on the road, Ve'ein imoy mayoichal, and that other person doesn't know what to eat, but he can't give him because there's a neder. So Nisin la'achrot lo shumatan, so he gives to somebody else that's with them as a gift, V'hala noitav oichal, and then that other person takes from that third party and he eats. Umut, and that's permitted. Now, Ve'im ein sham acher, if there's no one else there, so what do you do? Manich al gabi hasel, so he puts his food on a rock, or gabi hageder, or on the fence. V'ayman, he says, Harehen mufkaren l'chom mishayach, but they're declared ownless for whoever wants them. V'hala noitav oichal umut, and the other person goes and takes, and it's permitted because he's not having enough from him because he declared ownless, it wasn't his. But Rabbi Yisi says, that's forbidden. And Amar Rava says, my time to raise, what's the reason of Rabbi Yisi? So that the Gemara says, Gzeir Mishum has obtained the type of Ayin Aleph and Aleph because of Maisa de Beis Chayrin, similar to an incident that happened by Beis Chayrin, which is explained the Gemara Masechet Nedarim, Perek HaShutvin, where there it was obvious where somebody had his father that was forbidden to have Anah from him, and he was marrying off his son, but he wanted his father, the grandfather of the Chasen, to come. So what he did was that he gifted the whole wedding and the whole courtyard of everything to this other person. The other person says, yeah, if that's the case, I'm giving it over to whatever. He says, no, what are you, crazy? I didn't give it to you to do whatever you wanted. I only did it so that my father could come. And therefore, that was pretty blatantly obvious that it wasn't a true gifting to that person. And therefore, essentially what Rabbi Yisi holds is the same things over here. Where if there's no one around and you're declaring it ownless and putting it on a rock, it's pretty obvious that you really want to give it to him. And therefore, that is comparable to giving the Isra Anah from one person to the other. And therefore, that the Rabbanan said that that's not going to be a permissible way of being mafgrit. Again, just like that case over there where he was gifting it to someone else, where it came out, it's pretty obvious, it's just one big joke because you're really just doing it to allow the father to come and you're not really giving it to someone else. Same thing applies to this type of a case. And that's what Rabbi Yisi says, that's going to be us in the case where there's no one else and just a rock. And the person who took the neder, then the person who it's forbidden for him to have anah from that person.